Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Papa Joe, and thank you for the music team. What a wonderful presence of God today. Powerful praise and worship. Everything that we do unto Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It is not about us. It is about Him. And when we come to worship Him, we come to worship Him in truth, in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. Hallelujah. And we come to Him knowing that He is who He is. He is who He says He is. And that His promises and His word are always amen and always yes. His promises that we can stand on. We cannot rely on man, but we can always rely on God. Because God is the same today. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow, forevermore. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your wonderful presence. Thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love. Thank You for Your word. God, thank You for the power that comes from the Holy Spirit that empowers Your word to touch the hearts and minds and hearts and the lives of people today. Father, I bring Your word before You, for Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is light, lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light that guides us through. Father, Your words are principles and they're foundations, O God, that we stand on, Lord, to build our life before You. God, we thank You that You, Jesus, came and empowered Your word, brought the Spirit, O God, back unto that word, that, Lord, it empowers us. It directs our paths. It changes, Lord, our situations when we live and breathe and Lord, just banquet it on Your word as we speak about Your word, as I said last week. And Father, we thank You, Lord, as we pray, as we release Your word today. Lord, let Your word go forth today, that it shall not return to You void, but it shall accomplish everything that You have purposed for it. That particular word, Lord, will achieve everything that You purpose for it, Lord, in the lives of every man, every woman and children watching today. We give You praise, we give You glory, and we give You honor in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome, church. Every one of you that are watching today, you're watching in Fiji, you're watching in New South Wales, all over Australia, in New Zealand, in PNG. Wherever you are today, in this very creative, amazing world that God has created and purposed and gave to us, I welcome you to church. This is church right now. We want to say thank you for being with us today and fellowshipping with us today. I pray that the Word of God will really transform and do something in your life today. Open your hearts to receive from the Holy Spirit today. Let Him speak to your heart. Hallelujah. Let Him do His work that God has already purposed for Him to do, that is to transform hearts. That's all He can do. And all we could do is just bring the Word of God to you. But He is the one, the Holy Spirit. He breathes upon this Word to empower, to transform, to change hearts, to change minds. I cannot change anybody. I'm just a simple vessel, just like yourself. But the power of the Word that comes is empowered and breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. And by faith today, we're releasing it to you this morning. Hallelujah. Well, before I start this, before I bring the Word of God to you, by the way, thank you, Roger. That was a beautiful, powerful principles on communion this morning. And we receive everything that has been given to us in the message of communion this morning. Our messages of communion has been coming really good. We believe that communion is not just something that we take for granted and just take it because it's some kind of ritual. We have to bring it to the people so that the people in their homes can break bread together. Jesus said, do this as often as we gather together in remembrance of Me. That's His command to us. And every time we do that, we bring His powerful principles of covenant, not only just amongst ourselves and our families and our friends, but with God. That's the final covenant that He cut for us, that we must always stand on that covenant. Hallelujah. Before I bring the word today, I just wanted to bring an announcement. It's very important for us as a church family. And it is with great sadness and sorrow that I bring to you this message that our brother, Rodney Bagita, you know, I don't want to say late. I want to say present. He's still present. His spirit is present. Hallelujah. As passed away and gone to be with the Lord. We had the sad news on Wednesday, and Rodney's been and battling a long illness, and finally God has taken him to go to be home with him. I want to encourage the family this morning, Leke and the family. There are questions that we will never answer. Like we have a lot of questions. Our lives are full of questions. We question God in so many different ways. But His promise is always the same. One day you and I will sit before the Father and we will be able to ask questions like that. And He Himself will tell us the reason why He did it, the reason why He took our loved ones, the reason why He did what He did. Because He is God. His claim is higher than you and I's claim. His ways are higher than our ways. Our minds can never comprehend His ways. And I want to encourage the family this morning, and I want to encourage all our Living Light family to pray for our sister and her family and her children, all the uncles and the aunties. We miss our brother. It is a great loss for us physically on earth, but it's Evan's gain. The gain that Evan has today, the angels are rejoicing for a soul. Angels are rejoicing for a spirit that God created that is back in the bosom, back in the heart of God, in the hands of God. And we want to say, pray for the family. Keep the family in your prayers. There'll be notices coming for us to let you know what is happening and what the family has arranged. So I'll be in touch with the family, and they'll be keeping in touch with me. But I encourage you, go and visit them and go and pray with them. Go and encourage them. Go and fellowship with them. Share a meal with them. And all we can do is sit down and bring to remembrance some of the great works that Rodney has done in this church. Rodney, the Bagita family are one of the pioneers of this church, I should say. When Papa Bill first planted this church, they were the original music team, and they've been faithful in everything that they've done. They've seen this church grow, and they've seen most of us walk into this place, and they've been still to this day a faithful family in the church. And faithful family in the kingdom of God. So with that, I'd like to say thank you for their services. And Leke is still part of our music team, but our brother is now resting in the arms of God. Just pray for the family and make sure that you go and visit them. Amen? Encourage them. I want to just encourage you, family, the Bagita family this morning. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for your peace right now, Lord, upon the family, the Bagita family. I pray, Father, that your peace that surpasses all understanding be their portion. Pray for the comfort. Lord, your presence and your spirit, Lord, your anointing dwell in that place, in the place of gathering, as we come together to remember our brother. And we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful peace. Lord, strengthen them throughout this time. We understand that losing loved ones physically on this earth is a lot of pain, but Lord, like I said, Evan has gained a wonderful man. And so we bring that wonderful family before your throne of grace today. Pray for your blessing. May the Lord bless them and keep them. Like your family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored, made whole, well, and complete, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody watching today agreed on this prayer and said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you bring your Bible, If you've got sitting down in front of you today and you got your Bible, excuse me. Hallelujah. Make up, please. Hallelujah. Well, my message this morning is pretty much what we as kingdom people must always understand. And my message is guard your heart, but most of all, protect your soul. Hallelujah. There's such an urgency in my spirit to bring this message this morning to you. Why? Because the return of Christ is so close. It's closer than you and I can ever think. Hallelujah. The window of opportunity for salvation, it's like that cloud in a storm. There was a clearing, you know, and as I was preparing this message, this is what I see, that there's a clearing that's still there. There's an opportunity that's still there for salvation, for people to come into the kingdom of God. You know, Noah, when he built the ark, the Bible says the door stayed open until God closed it. And when God closed the door, no man can open the door. Hallelujah. It will be too late for you to try and dust the scripture off a Bible or go back to your Bible to study the word or to pray. It'll be even too late to pray if the door closes. And the window of opportunity for salvation is today, this very day, while you still have the breath in you, the strength in you to come to Lord, to come to the kingdom of God, to come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, to believe and to receive Christ, is so important for us today. I see that window closing very fast. You know, the battle for souls of people is really heating up. The battle for your salvation is heating up, and the church, I must say this, must now stop fraternizing with the enemy, fraternizing with the devil, and preach the truth to the people. Bring the truth. One thing that I will tell you, the truth hurts. There's a saying that it hurts you, but it hurts you because it wants to change you. And so when something is hurting inside, then check your heart and say, hang on a minute, why am I hurting? There's something in me that needs to change. Hallelujah. And so the truth must be preached. We are at this stage where we can't babysit people. There's no changing nappies for people anymore. People now need to really stand up and read the Bible for themselves, study the Word of God for themselves, pray for themselves, bring their prayer life to a place that's never been happening in their life before. Grow in Christ Jesus. Grow in the Spirit. That's the urgency of this message this morning. The battle for our souls is so heating up. The battle for your salvation is heating up. And we must, as leaders and pastors of the church, stop playing church. Stop getting scared or frightened of people leaving church. Hallelujah. And give them the Word of God. We love them enough to give them the truth. If you love somebody, don't just tell them that Christ loved them. Tell them the truth. Tell them what the Bible says. Tell them there is a heaven and there is a hell. Tell them about these things. We can't just tell them Jesus loves you, God bless you, and have a great day. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to preach the gospel to them. Give the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. The gospel and the end of the world, like I said many times when you hear me speak, is this, that the end of the world is in your hands, my friends. Those of you who are called by His name, that are calling yourselves born-again Christians, true followers of Christ Jesus, the end of the world or the end of the age is in your hands. Jesus said that, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. You have the opportunity to preach the gospel and tell the people truth. Speak to them truth. Truth hurts. But they need to check their heart and make sure that their heart's right. You know, the only people that get offended are Christians. People that get offended by the Word of God are Christians. So when you're offended, make sure that your heart is right. And so my message this morning is to guard your heart, but not only that, but to protect your soul, because that's where the enemy is coming for. You know, this message of once saved and always saved by grace has been taught as a license to sin for so long, and without challenge, mind you. So much that when the scriptures like such as 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 and 10, I won't read it, but you can read it for yourself, write it down and study it, or Revelation 21, 8, it is, all of a sudden when you preach messages like that, it is regarded that, the person that speaks it now gets abused. And pastors are falsely accused of teaching legalism and bondage and work salvation. It is not about that. It is telling the truth. If the Bible tells me to consider my salvation and walk in repentance and forgiveness all the time. You see, we've been forgiven by God. Through grace and through the blood of Jesus, we've been cleansed. But we still live in the world that is full of sin, a sin-damaged world. So our hearts need to be guarded every day. What comes out of your mouth comes from a well. And the Bible says, guard your heart because out of it comes the what? Issues of life. So whatever that is inside of your heart or your subconscious mind is really what you place there. And whatever you place comes from the Word of God. See, we are made up of the soul, the body, the spirit, and the soul. The soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's really what the enemy comes after every time. See, your spirit is there. It's in God's hands. But you're still living on this earth, and your soul is the place of attack every day. Every second, 24/7, the enemy is coming against your soul. Hallelujah. Listen, I didn't come to know the Christ Jesus and become a follower of Christ Jesus because somebody just said to me, God bless you, God loves you. Hallelujah. They didn't just tell me, God bless you, God loves you, my brother, my sister, God really loves you. Yes, they didn't say that. They preached the gospel to me. And the question to me was, where is your ark? Have you prepared your ark? Have you prepared your ark? And I thought, I don't have one. I don't even have a log to float on if this ship goes down. That's my story. What is your story this morning? Hallelujah. What is the story of your life this morning? All of us need an ark. And as Roger said today, this morning in the message of communion, he is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. He is the way into the outer courts, is the way into the inner courts, and is the way into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And when you come through Christ, you can go to Him directly. You can go to God directly. You don't need a priest or somebody to take you into that place of the Holy of Holies. God has already prepared a way through Christ Jesus. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. I didn't come because somebody said to me, God loves you. Somebody preached a powerful message with the power of the anointing and the Holy Ghost empowered the word into my spirit. And all of a sudden, religion left and kingdom came. I was a slave unto religion. Man controlling me until I discovered, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit. And then the kingdom arrived. And I've been totally transformed from this day on until to this day. Hallelujah. The veils that hung over my eyes like Paul fell and all, or the scales came off my eyes and all of a sudden, hallelujah, the demon of religion left and the spirit of the kingdom arrived and lived inside of me. Hallelujah. I used to be in religion and hid from truth. You know, religion hid the truth from me until the Holy Spirit arrived and revealed the truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. The Holy Spirit is the power. We have the authority and we have to believe that we alone cannot transform people, but the authority that's upon the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit breathes upon every word that we speak by faith when you release it. And truth shall set people free. You know, the devil likes to dilute the word. And the problem with the church today is we're preaching diluted gospel. We're too scared or too frightened to offend people. Hallelujah. We are so frightened. We said, don't say this or this person will leave. Or no. Just make sure you preach a nice message. Just massage them. Don't give them anything hard. Hallelujah. Well, in this church, my friends, you eat the bones. And you chew on that marrow and you suck on everything that is inside that bone. Hallelujah. And let that word sit inside of your subconscious mind, which is what? Your heart. Your heart is where the word comes and sits. Because if the word's in your head, it does not make any difference. It does not change you. It does not transform you until it sits inside your subconscious mind, which is your heart. And the Bible talks about the heart every day. Jesus focuses on the soul and the heart of man every time. James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Hallelujah. We are on a rescue mission to transform and change hearts. People have heard the message of God. Some have heard it right. Some have heard it wrong. And the key thing for us is to bring the message of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ to you in truth and in spirit. And people hear right, and people will understand right, and people will believe right, and people will not only that, but live right. That's what we're adding to, is people living right. Righteousness and holiness before God is all God wants today. Nothing else, nothing more. The Bible says that a believer can wander from the truth and be lost. Hallelujah. But also the one who wanders from the truth can be won back. Let me start by giving you a scripture to set the foundation of this message this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness," where? "In the heavenly places." Your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual things. That's why church comes into play. Church doesn't deal with physical things. Church deals with the spiritual things. And when you bind a strong man in the spiritual realm, then the manifestation of it happens physically. See, everything that happens in the spirit is real. Heaven is real. Everything is more real than the physical earth that you and I are living in right now. No wonder Jesus said, let your kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, come on earth, or let your kingdom be done on earth as it is in what? In heaven. Everything that happens in heaven is real. And we, the people that are called by his name, who live by spirit, will always understand the spiritual things. So our battle is never against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of the heavenlies. The greatest battles in our life right now is not our spirit, but our soul. If the kingdom of God cannot get to your soul, listen to me, my friends, if the kingdom that Jesus speaks about cannot get to your soul, then the kingdom can't manifest itself on earth. How does it manifest itself? Through you, my friends. You. I said last week, the glory of God is revealed through you. Those who are called by his name, those who are transformed, saved. Listen to me, not Christians. Take that title off you. You are a follower of Christ Jesus. If you give your heart to Christ and you're born again by the Spirit and you live inside this kingdom that Jesus talks about, it's not Christian. Everybody is a Christian. This country, it claimed to be a Christian country, but there's only 3% of people inside the church. 3%. Hallelujah. Do not claim your country is a Christian country until people truly are walking in the Spirit. People truly are born again by the Spirit. Then you can start saying, yeah, we are Christians. We are followers of Christ. The greatest battle is not your spirit. It's your soul. The manifestation of the kingdom of God cannot come to earth until the soul receives it. When our hearts receive the gospel message, then the change comes. Hallelujah. The kingdom is manifested on earth when it has been what? Received through our soul. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions receive this. And that's where the battle is there all the time. Your mind is a battlefield. The devil doesn't want the word of God to first enter you through here and sit in your heart. The mind is always at battle every time. The first, and that's why Jesus made mention his first public statement. Listen to what Jesus said. The first public statement of Jesus is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. When he started his ministry, when he began his earthly ministry on earth, he said in verse 17, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. That word, repent, doesn't mean you come up to the pulpit and shed a bit of a crocodile tear and say you're sorry for your sin and then go back out and live like the devil. The word repent means to change your mind, to think differently now. When Jesus arrived, he says, the kingdom of God is here right now, right here, when I'm here. So he was preparing the kingdom, and when the Holy Ghost came, the kingdom arrives spiritually. In the spirit, lives inside of us. But when Jesus was preparing for the kingdom, it says, you cannot enter this kingdom except through the spirit. Hallelujah. So repenting is not just feeling sorry for your sins. Repenting is actually turning around and start to think differently. Change the way you think, because the kingdom doesn't think like the earth. Hallelujah. That's why when Jesus said, you have heard, listen to me, he said, you have heard that you should not commit adultery. That's the world standard. But he said, but in the kingdom of God, he says, if you even look at somebody lustfully, you've already committed adultery. That's the kingdom standard. And so we as people of God must raise our standard to that place. We cannot operate in the world based on the world standard, but bring the standard of kingdom in so that we can live. And the kingdom standard is really high. Jesus said, here's the kingdom standard, here's the world standard. Now choose which one you're going to work with. And the Holy Ghost is the one that will transform you, bring you up to the place where you can start to think and manifest the kingdom of God through your words, through your deeds, through everything you say, the way you carry yourself in public, the way you say things to each other. That's when you see the true fruits of the kingdom start to manifest. Hallelujah. Through the Holy Spirit. Repent means change your mind. Jesus' first attention was given not to the spirit, my friend, but to the soul. Change your mind, your will, your emotions. Everything is in your soul. Your soul consists of that. Your will, your mind, and your emotions. Jesus' constant battle. That's why he says things like, let him who have what? Ears hear. He's dealing with all the entry points of your spirit man, your eyes, your ears. He's dealing with all this stuff. In other words, Jesus says, if I can get to your soul, hallelujah, to change, if I can get your soul to change, then the kingdom can come from heaven on this earth. Hallelujah. A lot of us are not representing the kingdom really well. We are misrepresenting the kingdom of God. We are misrepresenting God. We are misrepresenting Jesus. And that's it. We've brought the standard of the world into the church. This is how we do it. This is how the world does it. So maybe we should do it like that. No, no, no. The world operates totally opposite to how the kingdom operates. God is battling with your soul, and so does Satan. There's a battle going on for your soul from both sides, the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Why? Because whoever controls your soul, listen to me, whoever controls your soul, which is your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Whoever controls that controls you. Everything you make, every decision you make that is controlled by the kingdom of darkness is what you are. What you speak, what you say comes from whatever fruits that's inside of you. And if it's not from the kingdom of God, then it's from somewhere else. Hallelujah. A human being is made up of the body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that, my friends, is what the devil goes after day and night. Every second of your moment. Listen, if you're a Christian or born again, spirit-filled, kingdom-minded person, the attacks of the enemy is going to come quicker, subtly. It doesn't give it to you all at once. It gives it to you in portions. Little bits and pieces. And those little bits and pieces, they build up. And if you're not careful, Those things will build up in your life, and before you know it, as a whole kingdom of darkness living inside of you, because you've allowed something into your heart through your will, through your mind, and through your emotions. That's why you need to guard your soul decisions. Because whatever that is comes from, it comes from your will and your emotions. When you study Jesus, he's always going after our mind. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Jesus constantly is saying, if you listen to my teachings, if you hear my words, if you follow my words, why? Because my words are spirit. And my words, when I give it to you, it's full of life. And if I can get your mind to change, then you will be what? Sanctified. You are sanctified when your minds are constantly changing. Repenting is walking with a changed mind, with a changed attitude, with a changed heart. That's what repenting is all about. That's why the Bible says, consider your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? It is not something that came to you free. Somebody paid a price for it. And because we are so caught up in grace, and God will forgive us, you're dragging the name of Christ in the mud again. How many times the Bible says is Jesus going to be sacrificed for you? I'm talking to Christians right now. I'm talking to people who call themselves who are called by his name. Jesus keeps saying, listen to me, listen to my teachings. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness, and both of them are after your soul. What is your soul again? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So the devil did not make you do it. Listen, the devil did not make you do it. You made yourself do it. Hallelujah. Based on your own decisions from your will, your emotions, and your mind. Hallelujah. You have a will God has given you. God didn't create a robot that he will press. I said it last week and I always say it. Didn't press a button that you will follow him. You can't wait for God to come and change you. You need to make the move. Why? Because he's giving you the will to do it. There is a space of God that only God can fit into that space. Nobody else can. No drugs, no alcohol, no sex. Nothing can fit into that space except God himself. Hallelujah. Eternity has been placed in your heart. Eternity is placed everywhere. When you look at the nature, you see eternity. The gospel message is being preached to you through the stars, the moon, the waves, the sun. Everything is bringing you the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Most of you are losing your battles. Why? Because you do things out of emotions. Why do you think you keep going back to your situations that you know it is wrong? You keep making decisions based on emotions and going back to a place where God says, no, don't go there. That's the place you just came from, and it's going to destroy you. But we hear the Holy Ghost screaming at us, but out of that, we still keep going. Did the devil make you do that? No, you didn't. You did. By your own emotions, by your own willpower that God has given you, Holy Spirit convicts. The devil tempts. Both of them deal with your willpower. And your willpower, you still have it. When God created you, even before he gave you the Holy Spirit, he gave you a will to choose from right or wrong. So you can't blame everybody. Oh, I wasn't saved yet and I didn't know Christ. And no, you're still a human being with a willpower to change, to make changes, to say the right thing, to do the right things. Hallelujah. You don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and Satan got you. One phone call and your knees are shaking. Oh, I got to get back there. I got to go there. And you get involved in this relationship that's not supposed to be for you. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Not only just relationship, drugs and alcohol and all this stuff. You're the one that makes the decision, not anybody else. I keep saying to my children, if you go wrong, don't blame it on anybody except yourself. Hallelujah. Receive the blame. Carry the blame. Be a man. Hallelujah. The battle is over the minute you feel that your knees are getting weak. You hear the Holy Spirit screaming at you, but you keep going. Your battle's over. He's won. Hallelujah. Listen. Paul made a powerful statement. The battle doesn't stop because you speak in tongues. The battle doesn't stop because you're a person of prayer. The battle doesn't stop because you go to church. The battle doesn't stop because you fellowship with everybody. Hallelujah. You've got to grab your body and what? Beat it into submission. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Hallelujah. Praying, fellowshipping, reading the word is one thing, but beating your body into subjection, in some translations it says, get your body enslaved to the things of God. Let it become a slave toward the word of God and to the things of God. Hallelujah. Beat it into submission, Paul says. Let me just bring to your attention what is happening around the world today. You know, the media comes from the word medium. And I don't have to say anything today for you to understand what's going on. Everything is happening right now is being done by the media. The media is bringing this disruption into the world that we're seeing right now. And the enemy is using it right now. YouTube, Facebook, the television that you're sitting in front of right now, what is it that are you receiving that you're believing in? That's why you don't make decisions based on what you hear from these mediums, but based on the Word of God, interpreted by the Word of God, see it how God sees it, and then interpret that. Hallelujah. The word media comes from the word medium. There is an attack on your soul like never before. You have a box called television. And what is it that you're watching now that's going to influence you? What kind of information are you receiving right now? Hallelujah. Whatever that you're receiving, you will fall victim to that very thing. Be very careful. That's why guarding your heart and watching over your soul, guarding your soul is so important for anybody who claims to be a follower of Christ today. Because if you truly are a follower of Christ, the enemy will come after you like never before. If you're just a casual Christian and you're not just living a casual Christian life, you are no trouble to the enemy. You are no problem to him. But if you decided, I'm going to raise my standard and live according to what the Word of God says and according to how Jesus says the kingdom of God should be, then you watch the attack comes against you. Hallelujah. And when it happens, you got to praise the Lord and say, Father, thank you. Thank you that I'm seeing the manifestation of the attack and the enemy that's coming against me right now. Why? Because anybody that lives a casual Christian life is no problem to the enemy. The devil is not afraid of you if you're a casual Christian person. Oh, I go to church and I fellowship there and I do this and I do that. But the moment you start to bring the precepts and the principles and the Word of God into your life, the moment the enemy sees the fruits of the Spirit getting built up inside you, he will come against you. Hallelujah. He will send all his best weapons against you. Hallelujah. It is not entertainment. Whatever you're watching right now, it is not entertainment. It's containment. They want to contain you. They want to control you. And the moment they contain you and control you, they've got you. And you start to believe everything that they say. You know, I even hear Christians. My goodness, Christians getting caught up in all this stuff. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in what the promises of God is. I believe that I win at the end, regardless of whatever that's coming against us. Hallelujah. I believe that he's going to preserve his church. I believe that when Jesus is sitting right now at the right hand side of the Father, interceding for us, his praying ministry hasn't stopped. He says, you will do things greater than I did. Why? Because I go to the Father. And he's right now, Jesus the man, sitting right next to the Father, on the right hand side of God, interceding for us. He becomes the mediator between God and man. And the Holy Ghost is here right now doing everything. Hallelujah. You have your spirit and you have a body. And the soul, listen to me, the soul is the media between your body and your spirit. So whatever you feed your soul is what your soul now going to feed your body. by your spirit. If you're lacking in the spiritual things, then you're putting a wrong thing inside your soul. You're putting the wrong things inside your mind. Your mind is the one that mediates between your body and your spirit, and it controls these things. And whatever you place inside of you, and I encourage you, put the word of God inside your soul. Hallelujah. Therefore, then your spirit man will manifest the wonderful fruits of the kingdom of God. The word media means to mediate. Jesus Christ is called the mediator, what? Between man and God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and what? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Your sin or my sin or the sins of the world cost a man called Jesus his life, his body, everything that he had on that cross. Hallelujah. And the Bible says because he went through that, God lifted him up and placed him on the right hand side of the Father. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the one who is the man Christ Jesus. Therefore, if you get your information from somebody else, then you got the wrong information. Your information must come from God himself. And where does it come from? It comes from the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Everybody else will give you a distorted communication except God. That is why Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And many call themselves God's children but are unable to all the truth of God which they hear or to apply it into their lives or express it to others. There's so many hearing Christians, but we're lacking the doing Christians. And I'm not saying doing something to others. I'm saying walking in a place of holiness and righteousness, blameless before God and blameless before men. The mind has never been fully delivered from the grip of the enemy. That's why the battle is always in our soul. Many of us get new hearts. Oh, I am born again, saved, transformed by the Spirit of God. But we like to keep our old minds. We don't want to let go of our old ways, our old way of thinking. And that's why the battle is always there. Sanctification is happening every time we bring ourselves before God and subject ourselves and get our bodies to subject to the Word of God. Beat our bodies into subjection to the Word of God and to the things of God. Devoted children of God with hearts full of love and minds full of the things somewhere else. Church is full of people like that. And our job is to tell people the truth. Stop fraternizing with the enemy, telling everybody God loves you and everything's going to be fine. Listen to me, nothing's going to be fine until you come into the presence and come into the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Because your spirit is saved, your soul is saved, your body will go down, but you will get a new body. There's a glorified body that is waiting for you in heaven. Hallelujah. And that is the glorified body that Jesus has right now, sitting on the right hand side of the Father. And it is the glorified body that you will have to rule and reign. Hallelujah. With the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Our minds are constant battle every time. What that mind is, we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. The practical lifestyle is changed only when we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Your practical lifestyle, your manifestation of the kingdom of God only happens when your mind has been renewed and transformed by the Spirit. You hear me talk about obedience all the time. My life was transformed when I chose to walk in obedience. The moment I chose to obey the Word of God and walk according to His principles and precepts, my life started to change. I started to see the manifestation of the kingdom happening inside myself. My decisions were always good and right, based on His Word. My decisions must always be what? Righteous. Righteous is not wearing a big turban and a big clock and a big cross hanging over you and walking around feeling righteous. Righteous is very simple. What the word righteousness means, aligning yourself with the Word of God. Bringing yourself in alignment with the Word of God. That everything that you do aligns with this Word. Aligns with the principles of God. Hallelujah. That is righteousness, my friends. You cannot fake righteousness. You cannot fake the things of the kingdom of God. People know that you are truly changed and transformed when your spirit man changes and your mind changes. Hallelujah. Then the people will know that the kingdom of God is truly inside of you. Paul refers to sin as a condition that plagues the human race. Sin is a condition that works its way through our bodily members, that, my friends, is the ingrained habits of our body. I spoke about ingrained habits before. And many Christians fall back into that ingrained habits. Hallelujah. Because we feed our soul with the wrong things. And then we make decisions based on our emotions and our minds and our feelings. You don't make the decisions of the kingdom of God or the church based on your feelings or your emotions. Hallelujah. Make your decision based on His Word. What does His Word say? I stand on the Word and I will make my decision based on this Word and nothing else. Not from a National Geographic magazine or from Netflix or from all these neighbors or you know. I better stop here. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7 verse 5 says, "For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions arose by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death." There is no slavery that can compare to the slavery of the ingrained habits of sin. That is the most powerful thing that will keep you in slavery forever. And you will never see the true kingdom of God and through the true gift that God has for you. Or, listen to me, the true purpose. A lot of us are living lives that we're not supposed to be our lives. We are living somebody else's life. A lot of us are not doing the things that we're supposed to do. We're just experimenting with life. Experimenting with something that doesn't belong to you is a dangerous thing. Hallelujah. And that is your life, my friends. The Spirit of God and your spirit must come together. There has to be a fusion of the Spirit for that, for you to change, for your minds to change. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 20, but it says, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast out mire and mud." You see, the Bible talks about the sea. The sea does not need anything for it to cast out or to bring up the mud and the mire underneath. Just the movement of it creates that. That is the result of a natural motion of things. That is true of us when we are under the condition of sin. If you're under sin or living under the condition of sin, whatever that you stir up inside of you comes from that very place. You don't need to try and act to become sinful. It's already there. You can't fake sin. Sin's there. Whatever you do, that's sin if it's not according to the Word of God. The natural motions of our life produces that mire and dirt. Sin is part of the internal structure of our lives. No special effort is needed to produce it. No wonder we feel trapped. No wonder Job said in Job chapter 5 verse 7, he says, "Yet man is born to trouble as surely as the what? Sparks fly upward." We were born for trouble. Hallelujah. You cannot avoid that. I love Job. Let me just share with you what I have discovered in my spiritual walk with the Lord when I first gave my heart to Jesus. All of us, when we first become born again, there is still ingrained sin in our lives. I'm talking about ingrained sin because it's something that I need to bring as I was preparing the Word of God this morning or during the week. You know, we rely so much on our will and determination, whatever may be the issue for us, whether it's anger, whether it's fear, whether it's fighting against pornography, whether it's gluttony, whether it's pride, lust, fornication, substance abuse. We determined never to do it with our willpower. We said, no, we're not going to do it again. It is not going to work, my friends. I can guarantee you that, and you can take that to the bank. It does not work when you try to do it all by yourself. We pray against it. We ask others to pray for us. We fight against it. We set our willpower against it. But the struggle is all in vain. Why? Because we keep doing the things that we're not supposed to do. God is talking to somebody this morning. Two things happen. We find ourselves morally destroyed, or worse, that we find ourselves proud of what? External righteousness. Faking it. There's a lot of fake Christians. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Inside, nothing. Zero balance. Everything comes out of the mouth. Hallelujah, God is good. Inside, nothing. Fake Christians. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus called that? Listen to what Jesus said. Whitened sepulchres. You know the tombstone thing that they put people inside and they paint it really nicely and now people are worshiping tombstones? It's all painted nicely, but inside is rot, death, skeletons, decay. That's what sin is, my friends. Whitened sepulchres. My goodness, Jesus doesn't mince his words. He says it straight to your face. So why do we have to go and fraternize with the word of God every time in the enemy, telling people something else when we should tell them straight? If you love somebody, tell them straight. Tell them. Because you save their souls. You save them from going to a place that God never wanted them to go there at all. Hallelujah. Jesus calls it whitened sepulchres. We show a lot of our outward righteousness, but inside we are morally bankrupt. Totally bankrupt. Bankrupt, zero balance. Nothing in there. Hallelujah. Paul listed some of the outward forms that people use to control sin. You know what people use to control sin? Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. I'm talking to somebody this morning. I want you to get this message into your spirit right now. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, hallelujah. Why, as though you still belong to the world? Do you submit to these rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch everywhere you go? That's why we have policemen. That's why we have traffic lights. That's why, because we can't obey a simple 10 commandment. God gave us 10. We have 20,000 laws now to keep us in order. And he says, just follow the 10 I gave you. It's so easy. Hallelujah. Do not do this. Do not do that. Do not. And when you get caught, you blame everybody else except yourself. You know my favorite word? Shut up. And receive the blame, handle the blame, tell yourself, I am so silly. Let me just use the word, I'm so stupid. I should have thought that before I said that, or I should not have said that or done that. Hallelujah. Then it says in verse 22, these rules which have to do with these things that are all destined to perish with use are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of what? Wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, hallelujah, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. Oh, I've got to cut myself so that I'll be forgiven. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Hallelujah. That's God speaking to somebody right now. You hear me a lot saying that God has given us a will power to choose from right or wrong, sin or righteousness. Let me caution you here before I close my message. You will fail. Isn't it a good caution? Why am I telling you these things? Because I lived it, my friends. I lived it. I was a person that tried not to do all the wrong things, and yet I am still doing it. I'm thinking, how can I stop from doing all these things? All this newest resolution that you're telling people about, oh, I stopped drinking now, and I'm going to stop eating meat, and I'm going to stop doing all this other stuff, and That's not going to work. I'm going to lose weight. That's not going to work. I'll come back to the message now. The moment we feel that we can succeed in the victory over sin, our strength alone is the moment we start to worship our willpower. People worship willpowers. Oh, I stopped drinking, but that's my New Year's resolution. I'll never touch that ever again. 10 days down the line, next minute, they're back into it again. Hallelujah. That's the ingrained sin. That's what I'm talking about. That's why we need to guard not just our hearts, but our soul. Listen, I keep telling people, change your friends. If your best friend causes you to stumble all the time, change them. You're not supposed to be influenced by them. If you can't change them, then influence them. If you can change your friends, then influence them. But truly walk in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to be able to do that for you, because you cannot do it on your own. Here's why will worship produces an outward show of success for a time, but there are cracks that will begin to appear. Eventually, the true colors will come out. I remember sharing this message last year, but I thought I'll just bring a portion of that back to us to just remind us. Sometimes we say the wrong things to our loved ones. Sometimes we get angry out of emotions and out of all this other stuff that's happening, and we say the right things. You know, when I was traveling to church this morning with Papa Joe, and he said to me, "Pastor, man, I've been going through some attacks lately." But he said to me, "It's not coming in a huge amount of it. He's been just giving me portions of it." And that's really what the enemy does. He gives you portions to test you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the earth, the mouth speaks." Though we may try to hide those things, we are betrayed every time our eyes, our tongue, our chin, our hands, our body language. Your body language gives you away every time. So, my friends, we cannot fake righteousness. We cannot fake holiness. It has to be from the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, nothing else. Willpower have no defense against a careless word or an unguarded moment. Every time you do something, your willpower can stop you from cussing. It just comes out. It has the same deficiency as the law. It can only deal with the externals, but it cannot transform the inner spirit. Church, righteousness is a gift from God. It is what? Unattainable through human effort. Our human effort cannot make us righteous except through the Spirit of God, except through Christ Jesus. So having said that, what shall we say then, as Paul always says? Do we wait for God to come and transform us? No. The conclusion to this problem is this: we do not have to kick ourselves or beat ourselves down for having to fail to walk in righteousness. Neither should we become idle waiting for God to change us. A lot of us are sitting there waiting for God to change us. God wants us to get up, walk away from the place that you're in. The Bible says, get up from your sleep. Walk away from that bed that you've been lying on. And the Holy Spirit and God will shine His light upon you. Bring yourself into a place where God can reach you and transform you. God will not force you to do anything until you make the decision yourself. God has given us the discipline of life of our spirit to get up. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 verse 8 says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Hallelujah. Listen, a farmer is helpless to grow something. A farmer cannot grow anything. All he does is put a seed in the ground, put some water on it, and prepare the ground and the soil for that seed to grow. We cannot do anything. He plants the seed, he waters the plant, and then the natural forces of the earth takes over and this seed starts to grow. The disciplines that you and I have are God's way of getting to us on the ground and making us grow so that the fruits of the Spirit in our lives can start to manifest. Hallelujah. The fruits of the Spirit. Discipline can do nothing. They can only get us to a place where something can be done by the power of grace through God. God will touch you and move you when you come to a place and say, God, I want some changes in my life. If you sit there and wait for Him to come and change you, He's not going to do it. Doesn't happen that way. You've got to start searching for Him. You've got to start saying, I need to get away from that place. I need to move myself away from that place and put myself in a place where God can actually reach me and transform me. Hallelujah. Let me just close with this. Picture a path. And I said this last year. I remember preaching a little bit of this. But this is a portion of that I want to bring to you again. Picture a path with a steep cliff or a chasm, what do you call it, on both sides. And many people are in either side of those three categories that I'm going to talk about today. On the right, we have those who strive to use the power to overcome the ingrained habits. On the right side, we have people that are saying, I'm going to use my willpower and I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to stop doing that. And me. I'm going to make that change in my life. We have that on the right. And on the left, we have those who are saved by grace, once saved, always saved. Those ones that are saying they're going waiting for God to do things for them. But in the middle, it's those who seek after righteousness, those who seek after holiness, those who seek after the things of God. Those who say, God, I'm going to bring myself in that place. I'm going to move myself. You've already given me the willpower to what? Choose and move myself into a place where you can touch me and change me. Hallelujah. That's the path that I call the spiritual discipline, where we discipline ourselves. Hallelujah. Obedience, submission, humility, all these things are such great principles. And these are things that God honors and God sees it. And God says, no, there's a person with a soft and pliable heart that I can change. God allowed Pharaoh to harden his heart. God didn't harden his heart. He allowed him to do it. Pharaoh made the choice to harden his heart. So when he kept doing that, God says, fine. You want to harden your heart? I'll let you harden your heart. God does not curse us. God does not cause you to do anything. People say, oh, you know, we are cursed because God cursed us. You know, when you read the Bible tells you that you were cursed with a curse. God didn't curse you. You cursed yourself. Why? You chose to go against the principles of God. Oh, why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God allowing that to happen? God didn't do all that. We made choices. We made the choices to take God out of our schools and out of our houses and out of our jobs and out of our lives. And then we say, where's God? Hallelujah. Spiritual discipline. This part leads to transformation and healing. This is the path we must stay on, church, and not veer to the left, trying to struggle to righteousness for ourselves, or to the right or to the left. Once saved, always saved. Listen to me. I fear God. And fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. When you're a person that fears God, you will be a very wise person that makes wise decisions. Everything that you do is wise. Your children become wise. Your family become wise. Why? You're a person that fears God. If you're somebody that says, oh, I've been saved by grace and I'm going to... Listen to me. There's a whole new message on this that I'm going to bring, but it is not for today. Hallelujah. Grace is never a license for anybody to sin. This is the path where we can place ourselves so that God can transform us. Ingrained habits can get destroyed in that path. Spiritual growth happens in that path. Which path? The path in the middle. The narrow way. Hallelujah. Everybody else is going the other way. You stay in the narrow way. There is no longer that struggle to hide your inner selves from others. What comes out of you is what? Fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The never-ending flow of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and by all, the most important one, self-control. Just as the natural emotions of our lives produce the mire and the debt, now they produce what? Righteousness. Our Bible compares that to the sea. The sea does a natural movement, and whatever it brings up is what's underneath. So if your life is full of Jesus, if your life has Holy Spirit inside, then your natural movement, oh, hallelujah, whatever you say, whatever you do, all it brings out is those amazing fruits. Hallelujah. The fruits of the Spirit. You cannot help it, but it comes out. Why? It's in there. Why? Because you placed it in there. Why? Because you read the Bible. Because you understand the Word of God. Because what comes into those ears and your eyes are things of God that you've placed in your subconscious mind. So when it comes out, hallelujah, springs of living water comes out, things and issues of life comes out that are righteous and holiness according to the fruits that you have in your life. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, let me close here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your what? Own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Walk in righteousness. Walk in holiness. Walk in forgiveness. Be a person that says, I'm sorry, even though you are wrong or even though you are right. People will see you and go, now there's a true follower of Christ right there. That's a true representative of the kingdom of God right there. Hallelujah. By doing that, you respect the finished work of the cross and for what the Lord has done. According to the word we received today from Brother Roger through communion, when you do that, you represent the cross, the way the cross of Jesus is supposed to be represented. Hallelujah. His finished work, when he hung on that cross for 6 hours and 59 minutes and said nothing, that is well represented through a person who carries the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. By doing that, you build a healthy, reverential fear of God, which the Bible says, what? It is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. My friends, this is a message for this morning that I felt that I should share with you this morning, because the decisions that we're going to make from this time forward is very important for us. What your soul is receiving is what the enemy is coming after. The enemy is 24/7 coming after your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. He knows that your spirit is saved, but you are still living on this earth using your soul. And so your soul is going to be always under attack every time. And that is my message this morning. Guard your heart, but protect your soul. Protect it with all your might, all your will. Stay close to God. Stay in His presence. Stay in His Word. And make the decisions that are based on His Word and not just from your emotions and what you feel and what you think. Feelings do nothing for you. See, if the Bible says, and for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God didn't feel like He loved the world. If God operated on feelings and emotions, you and I will never be saved. God made a decision that He stood on, and He obeyed His own word and gave His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. He didn't think about it. He just said, let's do this. Let's get it done. Because it's the only way that I can bring this world that I've created back into alignment, back right side up. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. I thank You for every person that was listening this morning. God, I pray that Your word will now sit inside the hearts and lives of the people this morning. Pray, Lord, for the transformation to happen right now, only through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that conviction is so big right now. Let it manifest right now in the hearts of every man, woman, and children listening today, wherever they are, Father. If they've made decisions in their life that has been wrong, if they've made decisions in their life that has hurt other people, if they've made decisions in their life that have destroyed their own families, if they've made decisions in their life that has destroyed their business, their lives, their families, or their friends, Father, I pray today for an amazing restoration, Lord, upon them today as they receive this word. As they start to become people that will always guard their hearts and guard their soul, Father, I thank You that whatever they placed inside are things that come from your word and come from your principles and come from your word. That, Lord, whatever comes out of them will be the issues of life. The wellspring of life comes out of their hearts when they speak. Father, I pray your restoration, Lord, upon them today. Lord, as they're praying today, we ask you, Father, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for making decisions that are based on our emotions, based on our feelings, and never based on your word. Lord, we've made mistakes, and we've walked in mistakes, and we've reaped the consequences of it. But Father, today I pray that we will be people that will make decisions based on your word, Father. That your fear, the reverential fear of God, will truly come into our lives, and not only in our lives and in our families, but inside the church. That true wisdom and beginning of wisdom will start in the church, in the direction that you want us to go, not only as a church, but as, Lord, individual members of our families. Father, we thank you. I pray now for your wonderful restoration upon each and every man, women, and children receiving this word today, Father. Hallelujah. If you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. As we've heard today from the message from communion and the message from this word this morning, there's only one door. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it's Christ Jesus. There's only one path. There's the right and the left, and there's the path that God has already placed for us. And only a few will walk that path. I pray that you make the decision this morning to confirm and recommit your life back to Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Christ, this is a great moment for you to do right here, right now. Because salvation is for today. We don't own tomorrow. I keep saying this. Tomorrow belongs to God. He knows all that. That's why he says, do not worry about tomorrow. That's mine to take care of. You worry about today. And today is salvation time. It's time for you to say, God, I'm sorry. I want to think differently now. I want to repent. But not only repenting because of a few shed crocodile tears and I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for... No. True repentance is turning around from where we're going and saying, God, I'm coming back to where you wanted me to be. Understanding that the kingdom of God doesn't operate the way the world operates. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and if you want to lift your hands this morning to God, before God this morning, you do that. Don't worry about those that are around you. Don't worry about people that are sitting around you. Don't worry about your families. Don't worry about wherever. Your salvation is more important to God than anybody else. You bring yourself to God. Your father, your mother, your auntie, your uncle, your brother will never take you to heaven. When we stand before God in judgment, it's just you and God. Hallelujah. I want you to pray after me. Pray, repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name.
Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
And the way that I have turned my back on you.
And the way that I've turned my back on you.
I come to you now.
I come to you now.
And I repent for all the unrighteousness in my life.
And I repent for all the unrighteousness in my
life. I turn away from it all now.
I turn away from it all now.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
Your word says that if I come to you in repentance.
Your word says that if I come to you,
Lord, that is truly turning away from my sins.
That is truly turning away from my sin.
Turning away from where I'm going right now.
Turning away from where I'm going right now.
Your word says you will forgive all my sin.
Your word says you will forgive all my sin.
Lord, you have taken care of that sin.
Lord, you've taken care of that sin.
I don't have a sin problem.
I don't have a sin problem.
I have a sinning problem.
I have a sinning problem.
So I thank you.
So I thank you,
Jesus, for shedding your blood.
Jesus, for shedding your
and for dying on the cross for me.
For dying on the cross for me.
To pay the price in full for all my sin.
To pay the price in full for all my sin.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
I receive your blood to wash me.
I receive your blood to wash me.
And to make me clean from all sin.
To make me clean from all sin.
Jesus.
Jesus,
from this day forward,
from this day forward,
you are my Lord.
You're my Lord.
Lead me and guide me.
Lead me and guide me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So that I can walk with you.
So I can walk with you.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
Thank you for receiving me.
Thank you for receiving me.
And for forgiving me.
And for forgiving me.
Lord, I am washed now.
Lord, I'm washed now.
I am clean. I am born again, according to your word. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for those that have given out to Christ this morning, for those who have said this prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that your power, Lord, the anointing, Lord, sit upon them right now. Let your anointing, Father, transform everything. Let the transformation come not only just in their minds, oh God, but in their hearts. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a transformation power of the Holy Spirit that rests upon the people this morning. Those who have said this prayer, I pray, Father, that you watch over them, that you guide them. Lord, I pray that no weapon that is formed against them. God, there's so many weapons being formed at us, formed against us today. But Lord, your promise said that none of them shall prosper. Not one will prosper. They will be formed. We will see them being formed, but they will not prosper in our lives today. Father, I pray that, and I receive that, and I, Father, transfer that prayer by the power, Lord, of the Holy Spirit through this live stream, touching the lives of every man, women, and children watching today. Lord, I pray your wonderful blessing upon the people today. And I want to say this and bring this prayer that you yourself, oh God, a powerful prayer, gave to Moses and gave to Aaron to pray over the people. Your prayer that says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom, peace. The true peace that comes from God, that surpasses all understanding, be your portion today. Upon your family, upon your health, upon your job, upon your relationship, upon your friends, upon your neighbors. Everything that you do, let that peace that surpasses all understanding be your portion. In the mighty and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, we pray. And all God's people agreed with this prayer and said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.